Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning venturing out in this cold. And it's so good to see your beautiful faces and your hearts. And I asked to open this morning because in prayer last night, I had this come to my heart while we were in prayer. And we were praying over Yakima, and we were praying over our friends and our families. We were praying for salvation, praying for clarity of mind and all these things. And we were praying for our church specifically. And something that came to me is that, you know, all through the Bible, God was a covenant-giving God. But guess what, guys? He is also a covenant-keeping God. When he made his covenant with us, he keeps it, even when we don't. And his covenants with us are for us to reach out and grab. That's when it becomes a covenant to us, when we keep it, when we reach for what he's promised us. And scripture tells us, and when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and it says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. We asked last night. Every time we pray in supplication, we are asking, and God will give. It may not be what we think it should look like, but he will answer that prayer because he is a covenant keeper. He's not just a covenant giver. So I want you to keep that in mind when you're lifting your hands and your hearts in prayer and worship. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift this worship to you, Lord. We lift this day and this service to you, Lord. May all the hearts and souls here and the ones who can hear online or just hear on the radio, Lord, let their hearts be lifted to you. Let their praise, no matter what, be lifted to you, Lord, and thanking you for the covenant that you have made and kept with us. And Lord, we just thank you for this, and we pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together, church.
We love you, and we can't get enough. Oh, how he loves.
Bob's arms. Yeah, he loves with all his heart.
Yeah, he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he
that there might be somebody in the room today. You sing this song, maybe you've heard it before, maybe you've never heard it. And I just want us to make it a little bit more personable. It's safe to sing how he loves us because that doesn't put the spotlight on me. But what if we said,
he loves me and oh how he loves me.
Because that's true too.
He loves me, oh, how he loves.
With all of his heart, he does.
Yeah, he loves me, oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me, oh, how he loves.
Let's do it one more time, church.
He loves me, oh, how he loves me, oh, how he loves me, oh, how he loves me.
And I'm not ashamed of that, 'cause he loves me,
yeah, he loves me, oh, how he loves me, oh.
Suffering you are.
going to just take a little bitty poll with all of us standing here. And I'm going to ask anybody that's ever had a problem with their mind thinking bad thoughts or the enemy's attacked your mind somehow, would you just raise your hand and hold it up there for me for just a minute? Now, if everybody, while our hands are up, if you just look around the room, how many of us have an issue with sometimes having a sound mind? It's pretty much 100% almost, right? So if all of us have a problem having a sound mind, don't you think that the enemy has overused giving us a spirit of fear? Like God says, if you give me the spirit of fear, I'll give you a sound mind. Wow, that's a great trade. Like, that is an amazing trade. But how many of us in our daily walk hand it right back to him, hand him back the sound mind, and start having little fights with ourselves in our mind, or a thought will come in and we'll be like, no. I've told this story before, but one day my husband got into the car, and there's two things that happen. He has to put the seat all the way back, because if you look, his legs are like twice as long as mine. And when he turns on the car, he has to either turn off the radio or turn down the radio. But this time it blared so loud that he's like, what is that? What? You know, he was just startled. And I said to him, I said, oh, I'm sorry. I drove the car last, and when I was driving it, I had to turn up the Christian music really loud because my head was messing with me and I had so many bad thoughts going through it. God already knows that we're going to have a problem with our minds. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us, my version, a power, love, and a sound mind. So if we can all memorize that one scripture, how much easier would it be to go through our day-to-day life? Like when the enemy hits and he puts in a bad thought, it's like, oh, God's not giving me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy, what is it? 2 Timothy 1:7. Sometimes I don't remember the actual address, but I do remember the word, and the word is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's so sharp that it goes between the marrow and the bone. That's like really succinct. God's for us, not against us. He knows we're going to have a problem with the mind, so he set it up for us to be victorious in it. He set it up for us. So hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to have a problem with a sound mind, because you give it to us freely. And so by the power of God, we say thank you, God, for a sound mind. We don't have to fight and argue and worry. We just have to give it to you and say, Lord, help my mind. Help me to have the mind of Christ. That's scripture. Help me to have a sound mind. That's scripture. Let it go so deep in there that the enemy can't get to it. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to fight about it. I can just give it to you and say, Lord, you take this. And that we thank you for that. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. So we're going to give you the opportunity right now to encourage one another. That's the scripture too, that we would encourage one another. So we're going to go around the room, and some of us are going to go make a beeline for the coffee over there. And that's all right. You can do that. But please encourage one another with a handshake or a hug around the neck or something that will make them know that you really do love them, love's in the room, and that you're going to be praying for them and encouraging them for a sound mind. Amen? Amen.
Good morning, good morning. If we could find our seats, but don't get too comfortable because we're going to do our declaration over the valley. And I think it's more important than ever in this cold weather just to declare God's goodness and warmth over our valley. I know we're not the only ones struggling with this, but my heart is heavy for those who are have less than and are out there during this time. So if you guys could stand, we're going to say this in unison, praying for the Yakima Valley, our declaration. If you can go to that first slide, Pastor. So let's do this together on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for our great valley. We thank you, Jesus, that you are with us, you are for us, you are not against us, God. And I just thank you, God, that you are doing a mighty work, Lord, over your people, Lord, over the people of Yakima. And we just thank you, Jesus, for every person, every home represented here, God. And yeah, I lift up those as well that don't have a home. I lift up those who are struggling, Lord, those who need to help in finding the basic necessities of life, God, that you would meet their needs, God. And so we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your mercy. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. We have a few announcements, but exciting stuff. And so we are well into our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and God is good. I'll say personally, it has been life-giving, and it has been it's helped me stay focused. And I've even noticed that even in my word, I'm getting. I don't know, getting highlights of stuff. So I'd encourage you to continue pushing forward. And if you need help, accountability, ideas, please reach out. Don't do this alone. Fasting, whether it's food or whether it's media or whether it's whatever, like it's easier and more sustainable to do it together. Okay, so we're doing this through the 31st, and if you could jump on at any point, there's no rules to this. And the point is just we focus on Jesus and we lay something down, and we don't lay something down to pick up another habit. We lay something down to pick up more of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so, and I say that from personal experience. All right, so we're doing a couple fun things. So we had our first prayer night last night downstairs, and we're having another one this upcoming Saturday. And these are just great times, again, to focus on Jesus. We have a whiteboard out where we write prayer requests, and we just pray together in unison. I would encourage you to, if you can, to make it at least to one of these and just come and pray with the house. And then the last Saturday of the month, on the 27th, we're doing a worship night. So we're going to meet here in the sanctuary, and we're going to worship together, and it's going to be a powerful time. I could guarantee you that. And I know that because Jesus is good. So that's 6 to 7:30 here at the church. So put those in your calendar. And then something fun that we're doing, something that's been really heavy on our pastor's heart, is something called Becoming One Marriage Weekend. And so obviously this is for married couples, and we just want to put this at the forefront of your mind. We'll have more information to come, but if you could just save the date, put it in your calendar, February 16th and 17th, that's a Friday and a Saturday. I know, having been married 17 years, that a good marriage doesn't just happen by accident. And I am not shy to say that I have a really, really good marriage. Like, do we have our bumps and our rough spots? Absolutely. Mostly because of Nance. But if... But if you know, we have a really good marriage, but that comes with intention. And Nancy and I have taken time to do things like this, even though, you know, we've gone through certain things. We've gone through financial things. We've gone through raising a family. We've gone through stuff. But you can never have too much information. You can never have too much of Holy Spirit poured into your marriage. Amen. And so I wouldn't just look at these dates and be like, that's not going to work for us. We don't want to do that. Pray. Pray about it, okay? Put these dates in your phone. Go home with your spouse and say, we're going to pray over these days. And if God wants us to be here at this thing, we're going to do it. Amen? And so, like I said, we'll have more information to come on that. And then last is our giving and offering. Thank you again for those who give to this house. It goes a long way. You can give online. You can give in the box in the back. You can give in the box here. And we just appreciate everybody who sows into this house. Amen? All right, Pastor Mike.
Oh, yes. Gay wanted to make sure that everyone knows here that if you know a couple, someone that isn't going to this church and they need help in their marriage, or they just want to, you know, strengthen their marriage and revitalize it, or add truth to their marriage so that they live in more of what God's designed for them as a couple, you can invite them. And there's only going to be probably room for, I don't know, probably maybe 10 at the most. Is that what we figured? 10 to 12. So I think maybe next week we'll have a sign-up sheet. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. I'm going to be continuing on Ephesians chapter 6 through 10 through verses 18, but today we're just doing one verse. But first I want to really pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, I thank you, God, that your word has been given to us as a guide for our lives. That it is not just something that we're to just read to mark off like a checklist that we read it, Lord, but it is a way for us to totally interact with you and your kingdom and the supernatural realm. And so today, Lord, I pray that as I communicate, Lord, that you would anoint my lips, Lord, that you would give me the ability to communicate the truth that's in your word. And Lord, we pray that if there's any insight that the Holy Spirit needs to do in anyone's heart that goes beyond even my words, Lord, that you would do it today. Lord, that you would just set in motion, Lord, people's lives in a way, Lord, that they are understanding that they have been equipped for war, that they live a life of a spiritual battle, and Lord, that you are the one that fights for them, Lord, when they submit to you. And Lord, that this is not a battle that we have to worry about, Lord, but it's a battle that we get to enter into. And as you said, it's an abundant life that we can live in joy. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read through the verses here. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now that's a mouthful. When you read it, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. But it's really talking to us about living lives that are dedicated and in Christ. It sounds like there's a lot of equipment there and that you need to go out and find and try to grab so that you can be fully equipped for Christ, but it's really Christ himself. It's the Holy Spirit living in us. But these are attributes of what we receive when we receive Christ. And it's good for us to know about them so that we know that the weapons that we have, like I said it before, are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, for having victory in our lives as Christians. So today we're going to focus on on. Verse 13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm going to look at a few different translations. I always like looking at translations of the same verse. And I encourage you to go to a place like Bible Gateway, or there's other places you can go. And it helps you give some, sometimes we read a verse in a translation, and because of the way it's phrased, or maybe the words that are used, it just doesn't grab us. It's almost like somebody else gets to get up and say, hey, this is how this verse relates to me. This is how I see this verse. That's really what these different translations are. And there are also people who have said, I think the Greek or the Hebrew or whatever translations is trying to say this. But I like what the Complete Jewish Bible says. Take up every piece of war equipment God provides. In other words, don't leave any behind. Don't just say, well, I'm just going to take the helmet of salvation. I'll be happy with my salvation, and that will be just good enough. And I'll just be saved, and I'll be able to go to heaven someday. Well, that's great, but the problem is you're missing out on the equipment that you need to live a victorious life. When the enemy comes at you, where's your shield of faith? Well, you didn't realize that faith in Christ and faith in what he accomplished on the cross gives you power to fight against whatever the enemy may bring against you. That God provides so that when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist and win the battle. And when the battle is won, you will be standing. But Williams says it this, so you must take on God's full armor so as to be able to take a stand in the day when evil attacks you. And after having completely finished the contest, to hold your own. So this is emphasizing that evil will attack you. Now, Gay asked about how many have been attacked with fear. That's the enemy attacking you. We all raised our hands on an evil day when the enemy attacked us. How many know, she said, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Right. And the slide, it has a capital S. I'm telling you, the spirit of fear is not a capital. It's been destroyed. Yeah. It's under the blood. It's been crushed under the feet of Christ when he crushed Satan. And so when we receive the spirit of fear and we put a capital S on it, we're giving it more power in our lives than God. And that's not what we should do, because we have the victory in the cross, but we have to be able to take the full work of the cross in our lives. We can't just put on the helmet of salvation. We have to receive all that Christ did for us. And hopefully we'll be able to communicate that to you as leaders, as pastors, how we've walked out this life with many, many hardships, many, many struggles. Hasn't always been great, but God has made it so that we're here. And we're still going, and we're still happy to be in Christ. We still have joy, believe it or not. We can sing on Sunday morning and raise our hands. And I'm not doing that because, you know, it's something you do on Sunday morning. I'm doing that because he has delivered me. He has gotten me through all the junk that we've gone through. Amen, Gay? And so the NET says it this way, for this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand your ground on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. And the Message is a translation that is almost completely paraphrased by Eugene Robinson. And he said it this way, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. I love that. So, first of all, I want to talk about your armor. And it is your armor. That's the thing about this walk in Christ. It's personal. Each and every one of us have our own personal armor. My helmet of salvation is not like yours. My shield of faith is not like yours. My breastplate of righteousness is not like yours, because it's a personal relationship with Christ. And so your armor is something that God has given you when you receive him. And it comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the one that delivers all of these things that we need to live a life for Christ. So let's go ahead and look at a verse here that talks about armor, but it's not necessarily the same way that we're reading it here. And I think this is good, because it tells us that it's not just about the equipment, but it's about the person and the power that's been given to us. Romans 13, verses 10 through 12. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing that the time that now it is, high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. If you started believing in Jesus yesterday, your salvation, your full salvation is closer than when you first believed, because you're closer to the time of when you're either going to go be with Christ or you're going to be received by him up into glory. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So here the armor is being called light. So to me, when I read armor of light, you know what I think of when I hear armor of light? I think immediately of Jesus. Because what did Jesus say? I'm the light of the world. And you know, and he called us lights. We're city set on a hill. But when I see armor of light, that's telling me that our armor is Christ. Our armor is the very attributes of Christ. If you want to say it, Christ to us is the Holy Spirit. You know, when we say that I was praying to Jesus this morning, we were praying to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And in a way, we're praying to the Holy Spirit who represents Jesus fully. I think last time I preached on this, I said that where Jesus is now is with the Father in heaven. But he's also in each and every one of us at the same time through the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that that's hard for our minds to understand because we are finite beings. We are locationed that we think in our natural mind only in one place. I'm not in Washington, D.C. right now, right? I'm here in Yakima on 34th and Tiatin. But in Christ, we're also seated in heavenly places because all of our spirits together are united in him. Now, I know that that's a lot, again, to handle, but what it's saying is that we're part of a widespread kingdom that's full of power, full of glory. Have any of you ever heard of Tolkien's writings of Lord of the Rings? I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? You watch the movies and everything. I'm telling you, we're more spiritually and adventurally living than they did. But some of us don't even realize it. We don't realize that we're on a journey right now. You know, and I don't know if we're like where Frodo just started off on his journey and was just kind of trying to find his way. It's kind of like that. I think that's kind of where most Christians are. We're just trying to figure out who we are and where we're going. But eventually, we're going to be in God's kingdom, ruling and reigning. And we're preparing for that now. That's why when we say, hey, we're going to be reading our word, you know, through this month, and some of you have joined that and praise the Lord. But reading your word is part of getting you ready to rule and reign. Yeah, good. Not just in life now, but also when we go to be with him. Right. All right. So armor of light. So we are to put this on. Put off darkness. You know, it says in another place in Ephesians, it says that we're to put off concerning our former conduct, the lust of the flesh. Basically, we're to get rid of those things. And we're to put on the new mind. We're to put on God. We're to put on Christ. All right. Hopefully, I'll be able to get through this today. All right. 2 Corinthians 6:4-8. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. And what is this saying here? So now he's communicating the armor of what? Righteousness. Now, it's interesting because in Ephesians 6, what do we hear? That's breastplate of righteousness. Paul in this part, because this is Paul again telling the Corinthians, you have an armor of righteousness. Who is the righteous one, guys? Who's our armor? Christ. Your armor is Christ. So when we go through this full series and you start hearing about truth and you start hearing about righteousness and the gospel of peace and you start hearing about, you know, the idea of a shield of faith and a helmet of salvation and a sword of spirit, and you start thinking of these all independent things, you're missing it because it's Christ. We are able to do war. We are able to be equipped for war because of Jesus and what he is inside of us and who he is inside of us. He is our righteousness. It says that our righteousness are as filthy rags, but we get God's righteousness when we receive Christ. It says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Why did he die for us? So that we could be made righteous. So that our righteousness isn't what we stand before him with. We stand before him with his righteousness. Is that good news? Okay. That is good news to me, because my righteousness would not cut it. Okay. And then Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why did I put this one again? Because I think it's so interesting that in Ephesians 6 that he says, put on the whole armor of God and take up the whole armor of God. In other words, he's telling you that it's important. We have a saying in the church that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, because it's in the word. It talks about that as letting a covenant being made, as making agreement. But when we see things in the word where you see it twice, it tells me, it's like, pay attention to this because it's really important. And so it's telling us, pay attention. It's really important that you put on Christ, that you live as he called you to live, not I would say, not lowering, your, I can't get the word. Never mind. What I want to say is that we can't rely on our own strength. We can't rely on what we think God is going to give us. We have to receive all that God has for us. Some of us don't feel that we deserve the full armor of God. Some of us don't feel like we deserve all the gifts of God because of the way that we've behaved and the way that we've acted. But he doesn't look at us that way. He looks at us as children that need all of him. We need everything that he has. If we were to go without Christ in our lives for one day, we would realize how much potential was already there. We would start to sense like, oh my gosh, I had no idea you were making my life this much better. Now, I would never want that on anybody, but can you imagine if all of a sudden we were in a state like we were before, but now we've been living with his presence, and all of a sudden what happened? What's going on? I think even when I've gone through my darkest times, they call it dark night of the soul or wilderness experience, he's there with me. And, there's a great painting which shows that there's only one set of footprints. When there were two going down the sand, and then all of a sudden there's only one set. And, the person says in the story, Lord, why did you leave me? Why did you leave me during that time? Why did you let me walk alone? He says, son, you weren't walking alone. I was carrying you. So I believe even when we're going through our darkest times, he's carrying us. But we need to realize that the whole armor of God is God himself. Yeah. All right. The evil day. What is the evil day? Well, there's different communications out there about the evil day. Some people believe that the evil day is going to come when the tribulation comes, that's going to be the evil day. And it will be an evil day. And we'll see in the scriptures that it does talk about in the last days there's an evil day. But I'm also telling you, today can be an evil day. A day that you're overwhelmed with fear, a day that you're overwhelmed with burdens of life or things that are distracting you from the best of God because the enemy's bringing attacks against you, that's an evil day. And so we need to be ready to stand in this evil day. And the way we do that is by putting on God, by taking up the whole armor of God. If we look here, Ephesians 5:14-16. We see that it says here, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I'm going to read that one more time. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, very much like Romans 13, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. What does that mean? Carefully. Peter says it this way. He says, be on guard, for the devil is out there like a roaring lion, and he wants to devour you. And he tells us to be vigilant and be on guard. So this is telling us to walk carefully, walk our walk carefully. I would describe it as this. If you have had issues before in the past, walking carefully would mean that you're not going to go and participate in situations that those issues are going to drag you into. That would be walking carefully. That would mean that you would say, you know what? Christ has redeemed me, but I'm not going to tempt myself by going into that situation that I might get drawn back into something. Especially if he's delivered you from it. I can't tell you how many people I've known through the years that have been delivered, like major delivered from something, a vice in their life. And yet they go back to the same place thinking, I'm all good. You know, the Lord delivered me. And they start hanging around that environment. And what does it say that something this corrupts morals? But it's basically the company that you keep can corrupt your morals, and it can cause you to be drawn into their life, and you're not drawing them into your life. Yeah. Now, if you're sowing Christ and you're working and you're moving, and you know that God's called you into something to go and communicate, that's different. But if you're just going to hang out, the problem is, who are you hanging out with? Are you hanging out with, you know, just your friends, or are you hanging out with the spirit behind those friends that could influence you? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So this is communicating to us that now the days are evil. Today is an evil day. Not just because, you know, of what's going on in the world, but because there is still the prince of the power of the air, if you want to call that. We talked about principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age and in spiritual wickedness in high places. We talked about that last time I shared, which is a few weeks ago now. But that's telling us that there's still evil out there. There's still potential to get messed up. There's still potential for us to be drawn into things or attacked by things. And so what we're to do is to make sure that we're walking carefully, circumspectly, and not just, I think I used this term before, but willy-nilly, not just carefree, not a care in the world, not really watching where we're going. Have any of you ever been like walking with your phone, like, and you come and something is in your way? You're like, oh man, where'd that come from? You know, well, it was there the whole time, but you didn't see it because you weren't walking circumspectly. You weren't walking carefully, and you're kind of walking as a fool. You know, we probably have all seen those videos on YouTube where the poor guy is walking with his phone, and next thing you know, he's in a koi pond, you know, a goldfish pond. And there, we all laugh, but it could have been us. Because sometimes we're not paying attention. But the thing is that we're not to do that. We're to be circumspectly. We're to care for how we move forward in our lives. And not only that, we're to redeem the time. So what does that mean? What does redeem mean? It means to buy back. Means to purchase something. So how do we purchase time? We purchase time by putting value on it first. We're not going to purchase anything we don't put value on. So if we just think our time is just whatever, and so we're willing to spend the whole day on social media, sorry for those of you who do that, but on the whole day on social media or on YouTube or watching whatever or just, you know, not caring about anything important, and we're just letting time go by, we're missing the value of time. If we realize that every moment that we have is precious, and we can either be doing things that are building our spiritual life, building relationships with people, causing the world to be a better place, maybe going serving somewhere, that's redeeming time. But we won't redeem time if we just think that we're to just pass time by, or it's to pass us by. We have to give it value. And then once you give time value, guess what? You can start redeeming it. You can start saying, you know, instead of doing this tonight, I'm going to do this because I know that this is going to be something that's going to build me up spiritually. This is going to cause me to be more of a man for Christ or a woman for Christ or however you, a son or daughter, however you want to phrase it. But you have to realize that time is precious. It's a gift from God. Galatians 1, 3 through 5. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So what is this saying? That God has given us a grace, a peace, and through Jesus Christ, the work of the cross, because he's delivered us from our sins, and he's also delivering us, what, from this evil age. Tells me that we don't have to be subjected to this evil that's around us. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not going to affect us sometime. Doesn't mean that, you know, somebody might steal a car or somebody might do some harm to you. But I'm telling you, it does not have to be the end story. Because in Christ, no matter what happens against us, he can redeem it. He can make it so that what the enemy meant in our life for evil, God can make good. It says that he can allow things that the enemy even intends for evil against us to be turned to good. So even though the enemy says, I intend to destroy and kill and maim and ruin God's work in your life, God says, no, you may intend that, but I intend what you're doing there to bless, encourage, you're going to grow, you're going to become more like me, and at the end of it, you're going to stand stronger. So the evil one has intentions against us, the devil. Then God says, no, you have those intentions, but you know what? In what you did, these are my intentions now. That's pretty powerful when you think about it. If you think about that literally, that if someone was to come up to you and say this is outside of Christ, but they come up to you and say, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to bust you up, and someone standing right next to him says, you know what? You may try to do that, but I'm going to make it so you are blessed. I'm going to make it so that I'm filling your pockets full of money. I'm filling your heart full of joy. That's what it's like. It's like one saying, I'm going to destroy you. Then one saying, no, I'm going to bless you. You still might have to go through the circumstance, but in God, you will be blessed. That's the radical faith that we can have as Christians. It's pretty insane. It really is. It's where people, when they see you go through that kind of stuff, they say, who are you? You just, like for me, you just lost your son. And you seem to have like some kind of inner joy. And I said, yeah, it's not me, it's God. He gives me hope for tomorrow. He makes it so that I can say, you know what? Today may be horrible, but my tomorrow isn't written yet. And I know that my God has my tomorrow. And so, yeah, today's got enough troubles of its own, but I'm gonna be looking at what he wants to do in my life tomorrow. That's hope. You don't really have hope for things that you're seeing right now, as the Bible says. Why would we hope for something that we don't see? That's what it says in Romans 8. Why should we start hoping for, okay, I can see that. I want this iPad Pro. I've got this iPad Pro right now. Right? But if I was hoping for like a Quest 3 or something that I don't have right now, right? Those youth are like, oh yeah, Quest 3. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't know what it is. But what I'm saying is, it's something I don't have right now. So we need to hope for things that we don't have right now. So hope for tomorrow of what God's going to do in your life. Hope for how he's going to transform your situations. How he's going to deliver you from what the enemy meant for evil in your life. According to the will of God, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Now, this day is capitalized. Most likely, this is the writer of Hebrews, which we believe is Paul, could be someone else, but we believe it's Paul. He emphasized this day. He emphasized the focus on this day. And so most people believe that this is the day of the Lord's returning. But how many know before the Lord's returning, it says that difficult things are going to happen. So we are to what? Not forsake getting together. So church counts, guys. When you come to church on Sunday, you're not forsaking the assembling together. But I don't think church is enough. I don't. I think we need to get together for, you know, if you drink coffee or sodas or go to dinner together. You got to connect in relationships, Bible studies, youth on Sunday night, whatever you can do to continue to build each other up. And then it even says this, and even more so. So if you were used to going to church, you know, once every month, let's put it that way. That's actually the national average. Not one, isn't that what we were talking about? Once a month, or even worse than that now? What? 1.2 times a month, which I don't know how you make 0.2. It's got to be maybe you're only in there for 20 minutes. I don't know, however it works. But the point being, if we are used to going to church like 1.2 times, go twice a month. And if you're going like every Sunday, find a Bible study that you can connect with. Find a brother that you can start, or a sister that you can start praying with every single day. The thing is that as these days approach into more and more that we don't really know. I mean, most people believe that we're probably in the, you know, last seconds of the last days. Now, they were in the last days when the whole Bible started of the New Testament. But we're probably in the last of the last days. What does that mean? That means Jesus is coming back soon. And I don't know what it all means. I mean, I've read the book of Revelation a few times. If you ever do, you can see it gets pretty crazy in that book. But we can be encouraged in each other when we're spending time together, especially as these days get more critical. Here's the scripture I was talking about. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemies, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. This is what it talks about in the last days, and these are perilous times. Perilous times to me are evil times, right? I mean, have any of you heard any of these things? Lovers of themselves? I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but basically it's been over the last 5 years that selfies have been like almost one of the number one photos that are taken. Selfies. What is that saying? Ooh, I love myself. I want people to see how beautiful I am. If you do, I'm not putting you down, but I'm just telling you that's part of this era that we're in. There's a lover of themselves out there, lovers of money, boasters, proud. I mean, this is like, you could like read headlines and put this kind of stuff underscored, don't you think, for the time that we're living? So what does that tell me? It tells me that we need the whole armor of God. It tells me that we need all of Christ. It tells me that we need to be prepared for this evil day that we're in and the evil days that are to come. And that's why I'm communicating to you about the whole armor of God and being equipped for war. So now I want to talk about standing. So if we receive the armor of God and if we get prepared for the evil day, then there's something about standing. In other words, holding our ground, not tipping over, you know, not being so what I want to call it, so devastated in our heart that we can't keep going forward. Because standing means, I believe, that you're still moving forward. I don't think standing in God means that you're just standing still. Because it's almost impossible to stand still. I mean, have you guys ever tried to stand still? I mean, after a while, you're either going to have to go one way or the other, aren't you? After a while, you're going to have to move forward or move backwards. And I believe that in God, standing means that you're standing your ground, you're standing in Christ, and he's taking you forward in his plans. Matthew 12:24-25. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." What is this saying? To me, as a Christian, I realize that this is communicating two things. This is communicating that they were saying that Jesus was using the power of Satan to cast out demons. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm telling you that if I'm casting out demons by the power of demons, then that kingdom is being divided. It's losing its power. And so what he's saying is, it's not the kingdom of darkness that's casting out demons. It's the kingdom of God. It's God's power. But to me, it also says to me, what's happening in my life that could potentially cause me not to stand? In other words, am I putting myself into Christ at one point, like coming to church on Sunday, and then Monday morning I start living a whole different life? The kingdom's not going to stand. You're dividing against itself. I mean, what we do on Sunday should be a reflection of what our last 6 days were like. Our Sunday morning experience shouldn't be something that we put on a face. We should be putting on Christ every single day so that when we come to church on Sunday, it's a reflection of our life that last 6 days. Right? Otherwise, if we play between, you know, two opinions, it says, we're not going to be able to stand. If we keep one foot in the world and one foot in Christ, we're not standing. We're either going to get pulled one way or the other. And the thing is like, that's where people get to be so fed up with the church. Because Christians act like Christians on Sunday, and then the rest of the week they act like the devil. And then what ends up happening is people say they're hypocrites. They say one thing, and then they do another. Or they tell you not to do this, and then they go and do it. That's not Christ. And that's not being equipped for war. Equipped for war means that we believe what we've read, and we live it out. Through the grace of God, I can't live this out on my own strength. If you can live out your Christianity in your own strength, good luck. And I it's going to be very difficult to truly impart that to somebody else if you're doing it in your own strength. But I believe you won't be able to do it forever. We need the grace of God, the supernatural power to do things that we cannot do on ourselves. All right. Luke 21 through 34, 20, 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and the day that come on you unexpectedly, notice that's capital D again, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things, that you will come, that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So I wanted to put this in there because standing, it's also important to realize that when we walk this walk of faith all the way to the end, where we've served God, that someday we'll stand before him and we can stand before him and hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Doesn't mean we always were perfect. I mean, there has been no perfect individual except one, and that's Jesus Christ. And he was perfect. He is perfect in every single way. There was no fault in him. There was no error in him. There was no shadow of turning in him. He was a perfect sacrifice to God. And that's why you and I can take on Christ. And then guess what? We can stand before him because we're not standing in our own righteousness. We're not standing in our own deeds. We're standing in what he's done in our life. But again, we respond to him with what he's done in our life by living a life for him. And then we can stand before him in that evil day. Then finally, I want to end with this because this is really important. Because I'm giving you a lot of information. I know that there's tons of scriptures. You can go back on YouTube and watch it if you want. And you know, for those of you who are able to keep up with notes, wow, you're really good. But anyway, and Eric, you got all of them, Eric? You're good. Okay. If you want note training, go to Eric's class. He'll teach you how to note train. But Matthew 7, 24 through 27 is really a foundational idea of what it takes to stand. And Jesus says it this way, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, if something doesn't fall, what is it doing? Standing. So see what I did there? I said, okay, if it's not falling, it's standing. Why did it stand? It stand because we heard the word and we said, oh, that's a great word, Pastor. I'm going to go and probably, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't have the time. I don't value the time to study that word that you gave me or to really get it in my heart. I'm just going to listen to it on this Sunday and say, I'll listen to the next message, and maybe it'll all come together. No, Jesus says, those who hear the word of mine and then do them. And you know, to do them, you're not going to be able to just hear it one time. You're not going to be able to just read through the Bible one time. It's something that we have to make a lifestyle. I think every Christian should be a radical Bible reader. I'm telling you. Because it is the gift of God's word to us. Now, none of us, maybe some of you have, but not many of us, let's put it this way, because I don't know for sure, have really literally been taught by Jesus his own words. But we have the ability through the scriptures. Because it says that he's actually in the Old Testament too. Some people say, well, the Old Testament, you know, it's all those stories and everything. They really don't point to Christianity. Wrong? That's what the early church taught out of. And they revealed Jesus every time they spoke. Because he's all through the Old Testament. But you have to have spiritual eyes to see it. But if you want to be a doer of the word, you've got to get the word in you, where it stays in you. So it may mean that you need to memorize some scriptures. And if anybody would like help memorizing scriptures, come to me. I can give you some apps that'll give you like really, really easy techniques so that you can start getting those scriptures in your heart. There's some games that you can play that help those go into you and reinforce them. But once you get to the place that you start getting that word in you, you know what it does? It allows you to follow that word. Then you become a doer of the word. It says a radical statement in James. It says those who basically look at the Bible and say, hey, you know, like I see that this says to do something here, but then you don't go do it, even though it's telling you to do something. You're like a guy who looks at your face in a mirror and you walk away and you forget what you look like. In other words, you're going to forget how to live for Christ. So he's saying that if you hear my words, read my word, get it in your heart, and do them, you're going to be built on the rock. You're going to be built on something that when the storms of life come, you're going to stand. He's not going to have to come and pull you out of the water or pull you out of the mud and say, okay, son, let me brush you off and we'll get you going again. Because he will. I mean, if you continue to trust him for your life, if you do fall and if you didn't follow his ways, he'll come and he'll get you. But I'll tell you what, that means you're going to have consequences and suffer things. And it would be better for us to be in Christ and not have anything come against us that's going to cause us to fall, that we'll be able to stand. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. What does that mean if it fell? Didn't stand. And great was its fall. So there was a song that we used to sing. When you did that, I remember that. She goes, oh yeah, it's a song we used to sing with the kids. But the idea is if we hear his words and do them, we'll be strong, we'll stand. If we hear his words and don't do them, we're going to fall or have the opportunity to fall. May not fall right away. May seem, oh, this is good. You know, I'm living my Christian life. Everything's going well. It's not a problem. Until something comes, the storms, the rain, the wind, the earthquake, whatever it would be, and your ground shifts and you fall. But that's not God's will for us. It's not God's will for you. God's will for you is to be more than conquerors. Because we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Now, I don't know if we can go with the laundry list of Paul was more than conquerors in tribulation, peril, sword, all of those things. But we can be more than conquerors to the place where we're equipped for war and we live a life it's separated to God, and we are light in this world because we're wearing the armor of light. So remember, you are equipped for war. That dude looks really bad, doesn't he? I mean, but you know what? In the spiritual realm, when you're in Christ, you look meaner than him to the enemy. Because he doesn't just see us in those equipment. He sees the whole resources of heaven behind us. It reminds me of a story. I think I got just a second. This was in the Old Testament. See, I told you the Old Testament has some good stuff. And there was a servant of a prophet. And he saw these huge armies come. And he's like freaking out. Prophet, what are we going to do? This army, I mean, we're two guys. We're done. And the prophet goes, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened the servant's eyes. And the servant saw on the mountains all around the armies of God, the hosts of heaven ready to go at their disposal. That's what it's like for us. If God could just open our eyes. And getting in his word and putting on the armor of God, we'll open our eyes. We'll see more. We'll be equipped for war, and we'll be ready for the evil day. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, God. So I pray right now, Lord, that every single one of us, Lord, would develop a devotional life, Lord, of studying and reading your word, Lord, and applying your word to our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you permission with the word that's been put in us to activate it so that we are doers of the word. And if there's areas of our life right now that are dormant from what truth you put in us, Lord, awaken it, revive it, Lord. Allow us, God, to be the ones in this world that truly do what you say. And we know that when we do that, Lord, we're going to be able to stand in the evil day. In Jesus' name, amen. Spirit of fear, when the evil come against you, remember to trust in Christ that lives in you and read your word. Read your word. Make your word, make the word of God your word. Not just his word, make it your word that you've put it in you, that it's become part of you. Amen. Amen. 12:15, we're going to have a meeting, and I'm going to be communicating about things that the Lord is doing for us as a body of believers and the direction that God wants to take us in. So everybody's welcome to say amen. God bless you. Have a great week.